O God, our great companion, lead us day by day deeper into the mysteries of life and enable us to become faithful interpreters of life to our fellow men. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Jesus said, "Touch me and see. No ghost has flesh and bones, as you can see, that I have." They were still unconvinced, still wondering, for it seemed too good to be true. This is the New English Version translation of that particular passage. It seems that you and I have the same challenges to our beliefs as the early disciples did. It is much easier for them and us to believe in Good Friday than Easter. Here's the scene from today's gospel reading from Luke. Jesus is alive, standing before the disciples. He asks them, why are they wondering and worried? He invites them to look at his hands and feet, his wounds. He invites them to touch him. He announces to them that it is he, with flesh and bones, not a ghost. He asks for something to eat. They give him some cooked fish. He reminds them that this is to fulfill the prophets and the Old Testament scripture. Even after all of this, the disciples still found it hard to believe that he was alive. It just seemed too good to be true. And it seems that way to us also. The question facing each one of us on this third Sunday of Easter is implied. Is it true? Was Jesus of Nazareth raised from the dead? Did he accomplish what he said he would do by rising from the dead? The answer is yes. And you may rightly ask, where is the evidence? Here are some of the reasons for belief in Easter. Number one, the church believes it. I hope you notice that today is the third Sunday of Easter, not after Easter. Easter is never over. It never ends. The church celebrates every Sunday as a little Easter. Millions of people will gather today and each week to offer their thanksgivings for this event in history. Some of the finest music ever experienced seeks to express this wonderful mystery. Our primary sacrament is called the Eucharist, which means giving thanks. We lift up our hearts in the Eucharist because we can, because of Easter. It is all a pipe dream and utterly meaningless if Jesus was not raised from the dead. The church has dared to believe it to be true, and so do I. Number two, Jesus has left his mark on the human race. His teachings have not been given in vain. There are those who have trusted his teachings to be true and acted upon them. Two major persons in our lifetime is Gandhi and Dr. Martin Luther King. There are many, many others. The truth of Jesus' teachings have not been found wanting. Wherever they have been practiced, they have withstood the test of time. I challenge any person, any philosopher, any theologian, any historiographer or scientist to prove that any of Jesus' teachings are false and detrimental to the human race. We do not prove them false by living them. We often prove them true by neglecting them. Number three, with springtime and nature now blossoming all around us to new life again, it is not difficult to affirm the reality of Easter, of life after death. It is part of the natural order. These are three reasons why I believe in the reality of Easter. Why then do we find it so hard to believe? Why did it seem too good to be true for the 11 disciples? Why do so many in today's world dismiss Easter as just too good to be true? Let us think about that together. The first reason some people reject Christianity is because of bad theology. In some branches of the church, the God of the Old Testament trumps the God that Jesus came to honor. To affirm the Old Testament concept of God who is vengeful, full of wrath against those who disobey his will, who orders the killing of a whole nation, including women and children, who shows arbitrary favoritism, is to create a host of cowardly followers whose primary motivation for following him is fear. A God who demands justice and acts unjustly just does not create loving loyalty from thinking people. That kind of God invites our rejection. Sadly, we must acknowledge that this concept of God is being defended and promoted in some churches and some religions today. It is difficult to accept Easter from a God who would require his own son to be sacrificed to appease his wrath and anger to get each of us off the hook for our sins. If a tyrannical God and not Jesus dictated the Good Friday and Easter events, then it becomes rational to reject that concept of God. Another reason we believe Easter is too good to be true is because of our shame. Simply put, we don't believe we deserve it. We're accustomed to a Good Friday outcome: death, destruction. It stretches our beliefs to affirm Easter because we just do not believe we deserve it. You've heard Henry Ford's observation, and it's incisive. If you believe you can, or if you believe you can't, you're right. Sarah Silverman, the Jewish comedian, sharpened the point further when she said, "We don't get what we want in life, we get what we think we deserve." The 11 disciples were gathered there when Jesus appeared to them and had reason to feel shame. From the cross, Jesus asked John to care for Mary, Jesus' mother. John was now in hiding, and Mary was fending for herself somewhere else. Feeling shame at that moment would be appropriate. Judas' shame for what he had done drove him to take his own life. Peter himself carried quite a burden of shame. He lied 3 times, denying that he ever knew Jesus, let alone admit to being one of his Jesus' followers. Although Jesus had taught them that Good Friday was to happen, that he would be raised from the dead on the third day, they still found it hard to trust that. So they felt the weight of their shame. Their shame kept them from seeing the presence of Jesus and believed it was too good to be true. What about us? We too find Easter hard to accept because we don't believe we deserve it either. The season of Lent gave many opportunities to reflect upon our relationship to each other, to God, and to our world. It would be difficult, if not impossible, for us to absorb the teachings and readings of Lent and not feel the weight of some shame. The root feeling within shame is, I don't deserve to be treated any better. Guilt says, I have done something wrong. Shame says, I am wrong. Good Friday and Easter is all about those two feelings. Easter says that many things we have done or left undone are unacceptable, but that we as human beings are acceptable. Easter says that although we devalue ourselves, God Almighty has gone to great pains to show us that we are loved unconditionally. Easter affirms that when we cannot believe in our own worth, God does. Easter expresses hope and triumph when all seems loss. Easter affirms the importance of life in this world and the promise of a greater life to come in the next. Easter confronts our feelings of being worthless with God's unconditional love. Easter is God's way of saying that although we have made mistakes, we are not mistakes. Easter takes our shame, accepts it, and opens our hearts and minds to accept the love of others, including God's. Despite affirmations that our country is a Christian nation, Good Friday circumstances surround us. Seeing the reality of Jesus' presence in the world takes a keen eye. The devaluation of human beings is widespread. The use of violence to settle disputes is widespread. We will spend a lot of time and effort to make the Bible, quote, the official book of a southern state, and mistakenly believe that its contents are being understood and lived by that act. Once again, we err in substituting image for reality. The vulnerable among us, the poor, the poorly paid, are made into profit centers, from fast food workers to our students in college to the professions that do society's unpleasant work. Very often, the circumstances of life seem to scream, your worth as a human being is your paycheck, at the low end and at the high end. Low pay, low value. High pay, high value. It is tough to feel a sense of worth when we are constantly reminded that our value as human beings is assigned to us by another's estimation of our worth. This is a core human condition. Learning how to value oneself in the face of being devalued is our challenge. Easter is God's answer to that dilemma. The risen Lord is alive and present. He is present when young people of color no longer need to carry signs saying, Black lives have value, or raise their arms shouting, Don't shoot. Jesus is present when 13-year-old girls, preoccupied with their bodies, move beyond hatred of their bodies and realize that their value and worth is in their minds and their personalities. Jesus is present when healing centers and hospitals treat the whole person, not just the symptoms of disease in the body. Jesus is present when returning veterans are treated with the utmost respect and care, treating the wounds of the mind and soul as well as the wounds of the body. Jesus is present when all children are respected as the precious individuals they are, expressing their innate curiosity and creativity, and not valued simply as cogs, growing up to learn to be the wheels of corporate America and keep it running. Jesus is present when parents learn to guide, discipline their children with thoughtful, patient love, without resorting to the destructive shortcut of physical violence and spanking. We live in a Good Friday world. The reality of Easter may seem too good to be true, but it is. Christ is risen. Alleluia.